Get a job.
Work hard.
And one day you can retire and do the things you want.
That's the typical formula for daily life in the modern world.
And it works for lots of people. This kind of life is perfect.
But it's not for us. And I'm guessing that it's not for you either.
I'm David Allan Patali.
And I'm Carmen Allan Patali. And together we run the content company Red Platypus.
I'm also a published fiction author.
And we have two young daughters who keep us on our toes.
We've both said no to well-paid jobs in favour of pursuing our creative paths. And we want to walk them with you.
Freelancer, digital nomad, artist, creative, self-employed. Whatever you want to call it, if you work for yourself and want to keep it that way, or want to be free from the 9 to 5 and don't know where to start, we want to help.
We're going on a journey to speak to committed creatives, people who are all in, who have made highly successful businesses out of their creativity, and ask them how they do it while retaining the magic.
Because while we think inspiration is good, we've come to learn that process is vital.
Welcome to the Committed Creative Podcast, your toolkit for the creative life you want.
Here's to going all in and becoming a committed creative. I interviewed Perth photographer Yasik a while ago, and I'm finally catching up with all the podcasts I've been banked up with. So if you're listening to this and you're a creative entrepreneur who quit their 9 to 5 to follow their creative pursuits, and you're making a damn good crack at it, then reach out to me and perhaps we can have you on the Committed Creative Podcast. You can get in touch with me on the socials at Red Platypus Creative or via email, carmen@redplatypuscreative.com. Anyway, so as I mentioned, today we're featuring a podcast with Yasik and how he built his business up, not once, not twice, but 3 times as he moved around the world from Poland to Brisbane to Perth. He made a few mistakes along the way, but he's always embraced mistakes as a positive thing. It's a chance for him to learn and grow, and I have to agree with him. His most satisfying moment in his career so far is seeing his work up on billboards around Perth, which I have to say would be a pretty damn amazing feeling. Anyway, let's dive in. I'm very excited to interview you today because we met, I think, how long ago did we meet? I'm not sure. At an event.
Must have been a long time.
Yeah, because we've both been members of the WBA. How long have you been a member?
Close to 6 years, I guess.
Wow, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Been too long there, but it's a good place to be. But it's a good place to be.
Yeah, it's a great networking association. I love it. It's definitely one of the best ones in Perth, I'd say.
Oh yeah, without any doubt. Yeah, been to a few different ones, and I think that's the first one I've joined, and then I sticked with it for a long time. You know, girls are doing an amazing job to keep it up and running, and being able to see all the members, and you know, after a few years you gain a few friends in the business. There's always someone to call and ask a few questions and get some info back, I guess. So that's good. The sense of community in the business, that makes this place amazing.
And how important is that to you, considering that you work from home, right? I mean, obviously you get out and about photographing a lot, but it can be a bit lonely, this business ownership thing. Does the networking kind of help you connect with other like-minded people?
Yes, it does. It does. It takes that part of, you know, some sort of weekly meet. When you got a 9 to 5 job, you got those weekly meetings, fortnightly meetings, or whatever a sort of stuff you have. Or you got basic coffee with your friend at work, or just, you know, a little break and let's talk and have a lunch together sort of thing.
Sure.
So once you're a home-based business, you lose all of that. Unless you got a dog or a kid, that's fine.
It's not really the same, because you can't really talk business with them.
But then when you go for a coffee catch-up, or you go for a little bit more formal meetings, you get that socializing back, you know? But you got to be frequent in it. And that's the part of importance of networking. I was terrible at it before, because I'm not that very often in it. Saying that, I tried this year when the restrictions cleared, I tried to be as in someone else's face as possible. saying that it's just a numbers game at the end of the day. You know, people see you, people talk about you, and if you stay in your own walls, it might be a little bit difficult that way.
Mm. And sometimes it can feel a bit intimidating to go out and meet new people, especially in a business environment. But have you found that it's helped you win some work, or has it opened opportunities for you?
Oh, yes, many, abundance of opportunities. And the more often you're there, it's easier. People know you a little bit better. People know you by your name. People know what you do beside business. And you know, as a single operator, as a micro business, as a small business, people buy you as a person, because there's tons of writers, tons of photographers, tons of plumbers and electricians and other services. If they like you, they will give you some business, or try, you know, either they need someone, or they will tag you in for a post, or refer to the friend.
That's it. People buy from people. They don't simply buy a product or a service. That's it. So anyway, maybe you can tell us a bit about your business and how it started and what motivated you to launch it.
Oh, well, there was a stormy start. It was my wife's idea, to be honest.
Oh.
I would like to take full responsibility for it, but no, it was my wife's idea. If we can talk alcohol, Guinness was involved. I've stopped drinking because of that, because too many ideas, so little time. So photography was always my hobby since I was a little kid, and the camera was always around. And since I moved from film to digital, that was in 2006 and 2007, my friends started to get married. So I was there on a wedding, involved in taking a little photos here and there. And that's how it all started. That was back in Poland. It was almost 11 years ago, I think.
Wow.
Since I've started doing that a little bit more than casual.
Mm.
And then moved to Australia, started the same. Our first year was in Brisbane, East Coast. Mm-hmm. So we lived there, started it there, then we came to Perth, started again. So wow. So in 3 years, I think I've started it three times in different cities. Wow.
So when did you get to Perth? When did you arrive here?
Well, initially we came just for holidays, right before Brisbane. And then 2014, we landed permanently, just settled in. Yeah, okay. That's what it
so
is.
So 7 years ago. So how did you find, I mean, setting it up three times? The initial clients, obviously, were your friends and family, probably in Poland, but then moving to Brisbane, I'm guessing you didn't really know that many people, and then moving to Perth again. How did you find clients?
Yeah, that's a really good thing. So Brisbane was, it's absolutely different market than here. You got to have the different approach. My approach was, in Brisbane, I was still learning on the very beginner's learning of how to do it professionally rather than hobby sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I approached many events, caterers, and organizations, saying, hey, I would like, this is what I'm trying to achieve, and I'm happy to come pro bono for two or three gigs. Would you let me in, basically?
Oh,
you
wow.
know? And they said, yeah, come on board, that's not a problem. And in a few months, phones started ringing, people asking if we could do weddings for them or events for them or whatever. So the name spread pretty quickly in Brisbane. But then we packed up and came to Perth, which is, that way we started. I used the same curve. I used the same principles. So I called everybody. A lot of cold calling and emailing. Mm. And some people eventually said, yep, come over. Yeah. Mm-hmm, and then once the name was spreading, and I was... And back then I used my name and surname, so Jacek Back Photography, and people think changed a little bit on the way, just because we've over the years we've added several products to it, So I just didn't want to be known as a guy who takes photos and does other stuff as well for the corporate environment. That way we just changed to Perf One Media and went from then. The rest is the history, I guess.
Yeah, right. So tell me more about this diversification. So you've added more products. Do you mean added video services and things like that?
Yes, we do. So our three main products that we have are photos, videography, and virtual tours. We use that with a Matterport service. So most of the times we are involved in a corporate environment, real estate environment, and events. So that sort of all together comes into that's the reason actually we've put a one in Perf One Media. That's a one that connects all the products together as a one-stop shop, basically.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And so, are you still doing weddings? Because I can imagine that would be quite stressful.
It is stressful. No, I don't do weddings. for me, I would love to go for a wedding as a second shooter.
Oh, yeah, but not the primary.
No. I can do whatever. And so if there was a photographer in, I think, San Francisco guy. So he was hiring first photographers to do all the boring stuff, and he would just go and do fun stuff, because all the pressure for the day, it comes in a half an hour, because you gotta get everything right, and you gotta get everything there, and you gotta be prepared, and better not fail.
No, ruin someone's magical best day of their lives would be ruined.
Because people will ask at some stage, "Oh, where's that photo?" Well, I don't know.
Stressful.
It is a stressful environment, and if you want to be a good wedding photographer, you have to commit to that genre just by itself.
Yeah,
because editing wedding photos takes forever. Mm. So you want to build up a team, either have someone offshore or onshore who would edit for you with your guidance, and you just follow it as a photographer, or you spend a lot of time at home in front of your computer doing editing, which is, don't get me wrong, it makes you a really good life at some stage, but you got to be committed to it.
For sure. So do you prefer more the photography side rather than the editing side, I'm guessing?
Oh, no, don't get me wrong.
I
enjoy both, because it's a part of the experience. It's the part of the stuff that you do. Yeah, exactly. So I try to do as much as I can in a camera, saying I would take time to put the lights the way that I want it to be done. Yeah. So then editing doesn't really take a lot.
Sure.
Because I already know what I want to achieve, and light-wise, I already got it inside the camera done.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a little tweak here and there, and it goes off to the customer. That's how it's possible to do a quick deliver that we do. Because it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah. What were you doing before you were a photographer?
Oh, whoa, that's the story. I studied... So my history is a little bit twisted and turny. So I used to study Saturday and Sunday marketing at the uni.
Okay.
And then I worked as a sales rep Monday, Friday.
Right.
So that was a 5 years of my life before I came to Australia.
Wow.
So I was irresponsible of selling to the shops and franchisees all the essentials, so alcohol and tobacco, most of my life. And then my last job, full-time job in Poland, was area sales sort of manager, mid-manager. I was responsible for development of franchise market within the region.
Okay.
Then I moved to Perth and I worked in pool shop to start with, doing all sorts of things. But I quickly figured out I'm pretty good at repairing pumps, which was another fantastic achievement of mine. So I could very quickly disassemble pump, change whatever was broken, put it back together, pops your ankle. And then I was hired as a photographer full time, which I was still doing my own stuff. So part of the agreement was I'm not doing the stuff that the company does, so it's not, that doesn't affect them. I could still do all sorts of events and portraits and all sorts of things like that. So I was employed as a photographer, and then I had my own gig. After a while, it started taking over, so I just terminated employment and moved to my own.
Wow. So when you made that breakaway, how confident were you in making it a full-time gig? Were you a bit nervous about becoming a full-time photographer?
I was terrified.
How did you battle that fear and overcome it?
Oh, it was just the time to do it. I think that's the way to do it. And when if you just terminate your job and open the business and you know nobody and you start selling whatever you sell, is it a service, is it a candle, is it the whatever, it doesn't matter, right? You lose that cash flow at the very beginning, which people, I think that's the most important part of the business when people move in, because there's a lot of misconceptions saying, oh, open the business, you will never have to work a day of your life. The truth is, you work twice as hard.
Absolutely.
For half of money.
But at least it's all yours.
Yes, yes. And there's this flexibility you got.
Yeah.
That's with it, you know. But then you have to learn everything from the very beginning. And then, so doing that way, then when business starts taking over your employment and you feel like, okay, I can lose a little bit and see that. Let's go and see where it takes me. That's absolutely awesome. But if you just say, oh, I'm done with this job, I'll start selling candles, and you're not a millionaire in a month, and you'll start complaining.
You gotta persevere.
Yeah, you gotta have a little bit of not being in a, maybe repeating the phrase, it's easy to be in a comfort zone, right? But it's the nice stuff starts way, way beyond it. So if you move from the comfort zone, it's not as nice, but it might lead you somewhere at some stage.
It'll end up more rewarding often is the case.
Yeah, that's what it is.
For sure. Because I know... that sometimes that can be the scariest thing for a business owner is to take that first risk. But then obviously if you take a risk and it gets rewarded, then, you know, it kind of inspires you to take another risk and keep growing. But I know that a lot of businesses fail in the first couple of years, which can be frightening. Before they make that first step, would you recommend that people save up money so they've got a backup plan, or... what would you think is vital before making that first step into business ownership?
Well, I believe whatever you do in your life, you're supposed to have some sort of cash on the side just in case something happens. So that's doesn't matter if you're a business owner or a employee. Don't spend as much as you make. And should be fine then. So that's a life lesson I can give you.
As emergency funds always.
Yes,
handy.
As a close to 40-year-old, I can say that. try to speak to people who are actually doing that stuff that you're trying to do, and see what they see. Of course, try to see beyond the words a little bit, but then, you know. Don't be afraid to start it, because if you're going to delay it for a year, two, or three, you can you don't know when it's you. You will always be sitting around and thinking, well, what would happen if I actually do it?
Mm.
Look, if it fails, there's nothing wrong with it in the fail.
Can always learn something.
Yeah, exactly. You've learned something. You can. No one says, oh, you've already had a business, so you can't have another one.
Yeah.
Who's going to say that?
No.
If you made a mistake, learn, and you learn from that mistake, that's a lesson. It's all it is.
Yeah.
I
was just going to say, I think Richard Branson's had some massive fails in his career, and look how successful he is. He's had heaps of businesses, and some have worked out and some haven't.
I'm pretty sure every single one, if you haven't failed in your life at some stage in anything, you haven't tried enough.
Yeah, I agree. You know? I agree. And you mentioned having people around you who can kind of guide you and you can turn to for advice. Did you have anyone in your life who helped you when you were starting out?
Yes, on the photography, actually. On the photography side of the thing, I've had a pleasure to meet a few greatest photographers in Australia. So I approached them via email and phone call. Look, you guys, we are very lucky. I'm very lucky to live in a country that have so many masters of photographers in the world, globe-wise recognize it. So I called them, approached them, asked them for a coffee, and they were like, yeah, of course. And there's an elderly gentleman in Brisbane, and he was like, yeah, let's go for a coffee. Bring your portfolio. I'm happy to take a look at it. All I wanted, I was like a chick with the at the concert, like, oh my god.
Your fan.
Yeah.
Your fan.
I was like a fanboy, like, honestly. Yeah. I had his books, I had his videos, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna meet him. I'm like a god, like. And the guy just sat down with me, very down to earth, and he said, okay, put that light, this photo, if you put that light over here and that light over there, and you try that light a little bit higher, and this one from maybe five degrees, your photos will be perfect. I was like, how do you know that?
Wow.
And like, yeah, because I see it all, because I've seen all those mistakes before, right?
Yeah.
And that hour, maybe 2 hours of meeting, they gave me bigger advantage of to start anywhere else. And I just knew where I'm, how a little different in a movement can massively change the picture.
I love that, because I mean, there's so many people that I, you know, have inspired me, but I would never think to email them and ask them for a coffee. That's a great idea. Yeah, and I think people, like, it's your instinct to want to help others. So I think a lot of people would actually say yes, don't they, if they feel like they're being handy and helping someone.
Yeah, why not?
That's great.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, being able to explain something to someone, so they, you know, coming back to learning on someone on the mistakes, you may even learn on someone else's mistakes, so you don't have to make them again, you know.
And
my approach always was to learn the stuff that I'm trying to do, even in accounts or running business related, right? And I've made many mistakes. I've made so many mistakes that some of them were costly, some of them wasn't, but there you go. But I know now. You know,
yeah.
and if someone asks, I'm very happy to pass it on to someone else, that information, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that you studied marketing. Did you do any other kind of business training before going out on your own?
No, I've got some sort of Google whatever course I did a few years ago.
Yeah,
I can't even remember the name of it.
I think first-hand experience is often the best for learning about business, is just getting into it, stuck in, and you learn as you go.
Yeah. So my marketing degree is actually in a market research. That part rather than, you know, flyers and all sorts of things rather than that. So I was always curious. I was always asking questions. That was the reason.
For sure. And how did you go about, like, now you would say you have a target market that would be corporates, would you say?
Yes, mostly corporate, business related real estate, so I don't deal as much with individual customers or
mainly companies.
Yeah, mainly companies. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you find? Like, do you still find the works quite creative, even though you're working with businesses?
Of course, because some businesses you have to be very creative to. look. There's always going to be, a company that does something, isn't it? So it's on me to understand the business and then show it the way that's acceptable from the company side, from the marketing person, from the owner's perspective, and I'm happy to deliver. You know, so every single part of that has to be happy.
Yeah. So it's not simply taking a photo, it's understanding the whole business's message so that you can incorporate that messaging into the photos and the videos, the branding.
Yes, absolutely. Because if I, let's say, produce a video of the company and it has nothing to do with whatever marketing department prepared, what's the point?
Yeah.
If there's no connection of one with the other, it's just a video.
Yeah, yeah. It's a whole creative process.
Yeah, you have to know the company pretty well, understand it, and then okay, let's make it that way.
And do you think that's what helps you stand out from the competition? Is that you take the time to really understand the company's vision?
Oh, I would like to.
Before you work with them,
I would like to think that way.
Yeah, that's great.
I would like to think about it. Look, until your customer is happy and they're happy to refer you back and they understand what you're doing and they're happy to do it that way, right? Then what's wrong? Everything's fine then, you know? Mm. And of course, I'm not taking over the entire running business and say, okay, we're going to do it like this from now on. No, we have to sit down at least a couple of times and discuss, okay, where's the company going, what you've already have as a marketing department, and let's talk ideas. So first meeting is always who you are, what you do, and let me know as much information as you can about your property, about your business, and then in the second one, okay, let's create a storyboard,
and figure out the process together.
Yeah,
that's great.
Because it has to be the entire marketing has to be has to work together, right? It's got to be fluent at some stage. So basically, purpose of the photos and videos in the entire color scheme that you use for the marketing, everything has to work together. Because what's the point of putting just random stuff on?
Yeah, for sure. And is this a process that you've developed over the years? Like, how has the business evolved over time, would you say? Have you learnt new processes that make the... Like when you work with companies, do you have a specific process in mind that helps you make the process seamless and to get the right photos and footage the first time around?
Well, yes, but I think I ask a lot of questions. So we don't just show up on a job and say, okay, let's take some photos. So if someone calls me and says, hey, I got a week to do it, we probably will say no. Because I know unless I know someone already and we worked together before, right? But if it's a brand new customer and they say, hey, I need that done in a week, and I don't have time to meet you, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, sure.
Just record something on your phone, you're gonna have it as well. So that's the process. I ask a lot of questions. I'm very annoying at the very beginning. but then everything comes together pretty quickly and pretty easy. Because once you're prepared for the job and you've done your research and you're focused on a job on a day of a job. So you don't have to ask and you don't have to discuss anything. So all the stuff that could go wrong, it's already sorted.
So you know how to prepare for it.
Yeah. That's what it is, you know.
If you have a
fire extinguisher in your kitchen, already prepared just in case something happens. If it doesn't happen, that's awesome. You just wasted $50 on the fire extinguisher. But if you have a fire extinguisher and there's a fire in your kitchen, you can use your fire extinguisher to take it down, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
Being prepared is key.
It is. It certainly is. It's what it is.
And have you noticed, like, working in with different businesses, there's like a common trait to the businesses that get their branding really right? Do they have, I don't know, do they do something differently that makes it all come together seamlessly? Like, do they have any kind of overarching traits or processes to make their brand really stand out?
I think consistency is a good thing. If you're jumping around doing all sorts of different things because it's viral now, it might not work in a half a year. But if you got,
and it's not staying true to your messaging, is it?
Yeah. That's the other thing. If you're, let's use extremes a little bit, right? So if you're a lawyer and you start doing some crazy videos and you do, oh, let's do this, it takes away that position of being a lawyer, right? Being the person of the power. Of the knowledge
diminishes your authority
a little bit, doesn't it? I'm not against doing, you know, funny stuff, but there's a place for it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you don't put there's a reason there's a clown in the circus.
Yeah. Got to make sure it aligns with your branding.
So if you're a financial person and you do, you know, and you only have a crazy marketing, will that send a little bit of a different message, I think, than being, you know, calm and
reliable, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. That's the word.
Yeah.
So you want to be, but that's extreme, right?
Yeah.
Same with the politicians. You got to have a person write with a nice face in front of the camera. That's all they do. Who's got the nicest face? This one. Okay, let's put him in front. But then, you know, there's a, you don't have to, as a bakery owner, you don't have to be, you don't have to be as reliable, you have to be reliable, but you don't have to be as tight or as strict, right?
It's not as serious.
Yeah, you can introduce cakes, and cakes are always happy.
Yeah.
Who says, oh, I don't like a cake. I don't know what's a cake about. So then, you know, you have to be yourself.
Yeah.
But then you have to act to the job that you do. And then if you're lucky enough to have a good marketing department, everything else goes into right places.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
because if you're a security guy, you want to be a bit of a power of authority, right? But it doesn't mean that you have to be mean.
No.
Right? You can still be fun.
And approachable, yeah.
Yeah, approachable. And then, but you're not going to go through that door.
No.
Or maybe that's a bouncer. I think that's the sort of point I was trying to get.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. And so what would you say has been one of the most challenging aspects of being a business owner since you launched your business?
Staying sane?
what have been some challenges that you've faced?
Well, there's always a challenge, but I think it depends on where you are in this particular moment of a business. So when you start, you're probably more on a cash flow and not having as many customers. So you care a lot more about that part, right? So you do a cold calling, you send emails, your email has been, suddenly your email is considered as a spam. And as I had that mine with my I was sending.
Learned that the hard way.
I was sending about 50, 60 emails a day when I started.
Oh, gosh.
And after, I think, a few weeks, Google sent me a message that my email has been considered a spam at the moment.
Oh, no.
So I had to stop doing that.
Needed a new tactic.
Yeah, so you go from business to business. I've settled, okay, where my cash flow will be, my easiest cash flow is with real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, everyone sells houses. I'm just going to go bang, bang, take a photo, record a video, do a virtual tour, or draw a floor plan. Let's say I can do any of those.
Mm-hmm.
There's my price list. And I went to every single agency that's available in metro area. And I said, look, wow. I will travel to Kennington. I don't care. Right?
Because wow. Did you get work?
Yeah, just get work. Just get one job.
And did it have a good success rate doing it like that?
I got a success rate. I can't remember what was the success rate, but it was...
Yeah. Good number?
I wouldn't say good, but it kept me going for 6 years, so I think it's good.
I think that's the thing. Like, some people think about launching their business, so they don't really think about the sales side of things and that they actually need to sell a product or a service. It's not just about providing the product or service. You actually need to get the customers in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think some people can find sales a little bit intimidating. Do you have any advice for people who perhaps are a little bit shy and unsure about how to sell their product or service?
Well, you're going to hear a lot of no.
Mm.
So get over it and just move on and go for another door. You know, because you won't be in the right time at the right place if you won't do anything.
Mm. Mm.
So you got to knock on many doors to have a couple open.
Be proactive.
Yeah, basically. I got one of my biggest customers. I knock on a door. I gave my price and they, oh my God, we've actually lost the photographer yesterday. We are looking for a new one. I was like, oh, really?
There you go.
Right time at the right place. But I wouldn't have it if I wouldn't go there, knock on the door several times, and then be there, and then be again, and then be annoying again, and then again, and again. And then you wake up and you feel like, I just don't want to do it, but you get up and you go again.
Hmm.
Because
and eventually you crack it.
Yeah, exactly. Because no one is waiting for you at the moment. Mm. But there's a lot of people who are looking.
Mm, mm.
So if you're there, you might strike gold.
That's it.
You know, if you only watch how to take gold out of the ground in Australia on one of the telly shows and you don't go actually prospecting, you will never find the gold.
That's it.
That's what it is. And eventually your name is going a little bit grow and people will say, he knows something. And then if someone looks for it, there you go.
And they think of you.
Yeah, and that's what it is, you know. And
about getting the brand out there.
But as a one-man army or one-woman army, you're basically you are brand a little bit.
Mm,
you
know? So you, for sure.
So you got to be there.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, the other people don't really do is ask for reviews.
Mm.
Why wouldn't you ask for review? Like, hey, can you please help me a little bit more and put a 5-star review or put a review on LinkedIn.
Mm.
So I think LinkedIn is a little underrated in the social media market. But as a business, you want to have a LinkedIn account, say, and ask people to write a review. Because if you go endorse me this, endorse that, endorse. But if someone actually puts their name next to the word saying how awesome job you did for them, that will boost you up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Will
boost you up internally.
Yeah.
Tickle a little morale in the company.
Yeah.
And then you can, if you get that, let's give a deal. If you get that in the first month, you can put yourself on a employee of the month placket. Just to push you up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And Google reviews. I think people are sometimes shy to ask for reviews, but if you've done a great job and you've helped someone, then I'm sure, you know, most clients will be more than happy to leave you a testimonial.
Yeah. Some people will do, some people won't. Don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Move on. There's another one. There's another money to be there to be made.
Absolutely.
And if you have a quiet time, you got a quiet time. Relax, enjoy.
What have you found to be the most rewarding thing about running your business?
Most rewarding?
Mm.
I think most rewarding is when you see your picture on the billboard.
Mm.
I have few billboards. I personally don't have. My customers printed few billboards in the metro area. And first time I saw my picture on the billboard, I was there 5 times in a fortnight.
Love it.
I was just sitting there like, that's my picture.
That's so cool. What was the picture of?
Marketing for I just don't want to put a name on it.
Oh, okay.
One of the autism helping children.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Aww,
yeah, no, it's in the heart of Subiaco, and I was like, yeah, that's mine.
Oh, that's awesome. That's mine. Satisfying. Yeah.
So that's really rewarding. But you know, when you hear, so that's like a massive. That was a massive. A leap forward for me.
Yeah.
Like when you see something like this. The other one was, many, to be honest, because when your customer's happy, they will tell you about it, you know, and then they say, hey, that video's got thousands of views now. And I love it. I love this. I love that. So that's every single, I try to take little achievements to boost morales in the company.
Yeah, yeah.
So whenever someone's happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's good to know that you're helping someone.
Hmm.
And you work with your wife?
So
can you give a little bit more information about her role in the business?
Well, she's a quality engineer, so quality control, and a queen, and a duchess, and then... There are, on occasions of the event, sometimes she comes in as a second shooter.
Oh, great.
But
and how do you find working with her? Because I work with my husband and I know sometimes it can have its challenges. How do you work together?
Well, my wife got a full-time job, so she's in employment. But I love it. I love every time with her. So, you know, we've been married for 11 years. 11 years and together probably 18, so and still like each other, so I think that's a good match.
Oh, absolutely.
she followed me across the world, and I think that's a big commitment from
yeah, yes. Definitely.
You know what they say, love is blind. Love is blind.
And maybe just to finish up, do you have like any tips for any budding photographers who want to sort of launch into their own business? What advice would you give them?
Try a lot. Try different genres and then see which one you actually want to use for your own. Because you might find a little bit more joy in something different, because you know photography is such a wide stuff. You can be a fashion photographer, you can be a real estate, you can be a wedding photographer, you can do all sorts of different things. You can take photos of boats for sale and have a good living out of it.
Yeah.
It depends what you really want and where you find the customers are.
Was that your own journey? Because you obviously started with weddings and then you've dabbled in other photography and realized that corporate is your niche. Is that how your journey progressed?
I think so. I think the opportunities were there and I took it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like, oh, I'm a wedding photographer and I'm only wedding photographer.
Mm.
There was an opportunity to go somewhere and take some photos over there and I took it. I enjoyed it. And I pursue that, and that's how easy it is, you know. I wasn't stubborn of what I want.
Flexible.
Yeah, you gotta be a little bit flexible, I guess.
In the world.
Yeah, other stuff. Don't get too. Maybe my second idea should be probably the first one. Don't get too obsessed about the gear. Go and use it. That's the because everyone talks about the gear. There's always a month. There's a new camera and apps. I don't care. Honestly, if you spend time watching videos on how this lens will change your life and that light won't and that this and that you lose the entire world. The world doesn't stop for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course, you can go and do your own research and check but honestly, there's more into photography than watching few videos on YouTube. You gotta go and put your name out. That's the biggest part.
Yeah, and maybe that kind of links back to what you were saying before about cash flow and making sure that you've got good cash flow. If you go out and buy all the gear, it's not really going to set you up for positive cash flow further down the track.
Yeah, don't buy with credit.
Yeah, no, buy with cash. Do you have any tips for managing your cash flow aside from not buying on credit?
Managing?
Yeah, managing your cash flow.
Well, I think first couple of years in my area, right? So first few years, you got to know where the hot season is and when the quiet season is. Because I have few months in a year that not much happening. So I have to make enough money in different months to compensate for those. And that way, what's the problem?
If
you don't overspend, you keep the money. Yes, you pay tax, but tax means that you've made money.
Yeah.
Tax is a word. Think about tax as a reward of making money. Look, if you don't overspend from what you make, you'll be all right, isn't it? That's the cash flow. Yeah. That's the principle of cash flow. Spend less than you make.
Yeah.
Of course, things like Pavlov, pyramid of Pavlov comes in, yeah? Because you have to have enough money for the very, very essential stuff, yeah? I'm not saying booze. I'm not talking about booze. I'm talking about electricity, water, rent or mortgage you pay, or a car repayments or whatever. So make sure you have money for that. And then if you have that and you like a lens or two, and you feel like you've been a good boy or girl over the year, go and buy something. Yeah, that's fine. But don't get excited and go and just spend
it all.
Yeah, yeah, just because I can. No.
Yeah. So always have money in reserve.
But you have
for
to.
When times are lean. Yeah, for
you
sure.
You have to, because you know, as an employee, you get paid every fortnight or a week or whatever the arrangement is, right? But as a business owner, you can make a lot of money in January and then nothing in February. So if you make a few thousand dollars in January, it's like, that's a good money. Don't expect it to be the same or more next month, because it might not be. It can be, but it not necessarily will be. So that's the... But when you know what to expect from each month or a year, if you're in the game for a bit longer, then you're pretty much sorted, aren't you?
Yeah, because it ebbs and flows.
Yeah, so yeah. Look,
be prepared.
I'm pretty sure that I haven't shot the wedding for the last few years, but I'm pretty sure in a spring and summer there's a little bit more than in the wet winter.
For sure.
I will take the bet that that's what it is.
Yeah. And what would you say, like, before we finish up, what would you say is the main driver for doing what you do? What motivates you to run your business and not just go work for someone else? Because people could argue that it's easier to work for someone else. As you say, you've got the regular paycheck and you don't have to worry about cash flow and those kinds of things. So what motivates you to have your business?
Well, there's a lot of pros and cons on both sides, isn't it? Because if you want to be organized, a little bit easier life, get coffee paid off someone else and have a fortnight, let's say, call it fortnight a wage, you go as an employee. If you want to have a flexibility, and if you want to say, let's say you need to do something on Wednesday, you don't have to take the day off when you're your own boss, because you can you can always make an arrangement and have a half a day off, or you just want to see where it's gonna go, or you don't belong in the employee environment.
Is it the flexibility that you're in control of?
There's a lot of flexibility, yes, but then the flexibility of it is when you can have a flexibility. Yeah, because when there's a busy time, you work longer hours, and that's fine. It's never the same, on the other hand, because it's always going to be a little bit different because you work with different people, right? So for me, I don't get bored. So if I let's say would work in the same company doing the same stuff, I could probably get bored after a year or two.
Yeah, I totally get that.
But then here I can go to, you know, all sorts of different businesses and learn about their approach and their thing. And I think the flexibility comes in handy as well, but then you got that creative spectrum that comes in and stimulates you a little bit here and there.
I think every day is different as well, because you're managing a business, but you're also doing the creative side of things, or taking photos, and it's using all your skill set. Whereas if you worked for someone, you'd probably only focus on a particular area, and it wouldn't be so varied. So therefore, it's not as rewarding often.
It all depends. It all depends how big the company is, and how the structure works. But yeah, there's a sense in it, because then you get that wider positive feedback, isn't it? And then you meet a lot more people. I come from, you know, sales rep experience, so I need that sort of, I am that kind of person that is driven by meetings. You know, and but not
face-to-face interaction.
Not that Monday 10 a.m. staff meeting. Not that kind of meeting.
Just being with people.
Exactly. Yeah. So probably that's the answer, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Great.
What made you to go that way?
I think it's flexibility. Like, we've got young children, and just to work from home and being able to do what we want to do with our time. I think once you work for yourself, it's very hard to go back to working for someone else, because you start to enjoy that freedom. And also, I find that, like, at least when you're working really hard and you might be doing long hours or whatever, it's for you. It's not for someone else. So it's much more, you're much more driven, and the rewards are far greater, I think. So I think that's what drives me. There's a lot of good things about working for yourself, I think. It's definitely can be more of a challenge, but it's also more rewarding.
Yeah, it's not easy. If someone ever told you start business because it's easy, it's not. It is easy to start it, because you just log into the ATO and or whatever the website is.
But you keep going as hard.
And then you start a business 15 minutes. But then another 10 years forward, you want to be in it, you know?
And making it successful is definitely another story. It's definitely hard, but I mean, I think it goes back to what you say. If you live in your comfort zone, life's pretty easy, but it's not as rewarding. But as soon as you make it more challenging and push yourself, it's more rewarding. But sure, it's harder, but the rewards are greater. So
yes, but that, I think it's on every aspect of life. So maybe I'm looking at it a little bit more wide than, you know, people think business is just a little part. But, you know, if you challenge yourself and change tiles in the kitchen. You know, and if you can do it, if you can commit to it, learn it, because the knowledge these days, knowledge is everywhere. You can ask your neighbor, you can check on YouTube a few videos, and you probably will do a decent job. If you're a little bit skilled with a tool. But then the sense of accomplishment of that will overcome lot of other stuff and boost your inner confidence.
Yeah.
So if you can make something or do something, I don't know, do a backyard renovation. I'm not saying dig a hole, put a pool in it, you know, not sort of that thing, but
baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps, exactly. Yeah. Just start little. Paint one of the rooms. Paint the room and put a flower in it, in a pot. And you will look at that room and say, "Yeah, I've painted that."
Yeah, and then it rewards you, and then you feel more courageous to do something else. Yeah, and then further, I guess.
And then if you put that into business and say, "Okay, I am a full-time employee, but let's say I start ABN, and I'll be selling handcrafted quilts."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why not? And then you become the best handcrafted quilt maker in Australia. They put you on a telly. 7 news in the morning, you're there because you're the best. And you made a living out of it. It may happen, it may not. But isn't it nice to think that it might happen?
Yeah, but you'll never know if you don't try.
If you don't try, if you won't try, it will never happen.
That's it.
That's what it is. But if you're not, there's always a place on a train going to the city on the 7 a.m. and coming back around 5:30 or 4:30. Yeah. Depends if you take a lunch break or not.
Commuter life. Yeah, that's it.
But then, you know, it's not for everyone. Mm. It's like migration. It's not for everyone.
No.
It is challenging,
mm.
but it can be rewarding. It is rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing comes in life. Nothing good in life comes easy.
That's it. Well, that's a good note to finish on, I think.
That's a good one, isn't it? I should write it somewhere.
If you'd like to check out Jacek's work, you can head over to his website at perth1media.com.au. I'd love for you to screenshot this episode and tag me on the socials at Red Platypus Creative about your main takeaway from this podcast. And until next time, here's to going all in on your creative pursuits.
Thank you for listening to the Committed Creative Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode and learned at least one thing that will help you stay on the creative path.
If you liked it, please subscribe as there's plenty more to come. And we'd love it if you could leave us a review if you found the podcast worthwhile. And if you didn't, please send us your feedback. We're all ears. You can check us out online at redplatypuscreative.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Red Platypus Creative.
Remember, you are not alone in your creativity and you can make money from your creative pursuits. See you next time when we speak to another creative mind that's committed to making their way work.
Here's to going all in and becoming a committed creative.